Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? We good? All right. Good deal, good deal. Hey, if you're joining us online, we are so glad that you're with us. This table is super unbalanced. But if you're here in the parking lot, so good to see you this morning. What a beautiful day, right? It's like 77 degrees already. It's going to get pretty warm today. And I look forward to just spending some moments with you this morning. Thanks for taking the time to come out and be a part of the service and just worshiping together. I hope that you feel like you've been able to just kind of get out and just be refreshed. And if you haven't already downloaded the app, I know Wendy was just talking about it. All the notes are in the app along with the song lyrics every week. And so I encourage you to do that. And we're in a new series that started last week called Believe. When you came in your bag, you probably got an invite card. And give it out to somebody this week. Invite someone to drive in church. Also, with this new series, so we're in week two, and you might want to share the messages. I don't know if it's something that may minister to you. It may be an encouragement to you. You might say, you know what, this is something that I want to share with others. You can go on our website, vibechurch.com. You can find the podcast. There's videos there. Also, actually, all that stuff's on the app as well. You can share that with others, with friends, family, whatever. So we're in this second week of our Believe series. And can we just pray? Because I feel like we're going to talk about some things this morning that might be, you know, it might kind of step on some toes a little bit, you know? And so can we just pray together just to have a heart that's receptive to God's word? Father, in Jesus' name, we just, we open our hearts to you. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us, and we ask you to help us to hear you, and help us, Lord, to move forward and take that step in our faith today, in our relationship with you, and to not be held back. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I can't remember my first lies. I can't remember those. I'm sure, like most of us, our first lie started when we were just about able to speak, right? You never notice, you know, as a child begins to speak, you think, you're too young to even know how to lie. How are you doing this? You know, so I can't remember those first lies, but I can remember some of the first ones I got caught in. Can you remember some of the first lies you ever got caught in? It was like being exposed, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, like I just got busted. And how do you backtrack? How do you bail yourself out of those lies? I definitely can remember some of those. Those were some doozies and had to pay the price, right? I don't know how it went down in your house, but in our home, we had my dad had a way of teaching us the importance of speaking truth and not using curse words, anything that had to do with our tongue. You know, his way of teaching us to make sure we're careful what we say was hot sauce. And he would take a spoonful of hot sauce and say, "Here you go." I don't know if he wanted us to realize that, you know, hey, when you misuse your words, it's like hot as hell, right? Hey, just kidding. But anyway, but it's something that he would do. And so I don't know what, maybe your parents, you know, put a little soap in your mouth. I don't know what it was, but I just remember, you know, those first ones that I got caught. And you would think that when you get caught lying, that would fix you, right? Because of punishment or whatever, you know, it is that happens to you. But in reality, it didn't stop me from lying. It actually, I just got a little better at it, right? Just like maybe you did. Instead of stopping lying, we just learn how to lie just a little better, right? And see, lying is something that is it's like a free pass, right? It's like this, it's like a free pass out of a bad situation. And it's like getting out of jail free card, you know, or like a do-over. It's kind of like a coupon, right? For a free mistake. You own one, you get one free, kind of a thing. And in reality, can we be honest with each other today? In reality, doesn't everybody lie, right? Doesn't everybody lie? I mean, that's kind of the excuse that we give ourselves, and sometimes we even give others. Doesn't everyone lie? What is a lie? I want to talk about that this morning, because our series, Believe, is we're looking at the truth behind lies. Last week we talked about truth. Last week we talked about the importance of truth being our anchor to reality. See, truth anchors us to reality. If we don't have that anchor, we will drift. We'll drift morally. We'll find ourselves doing some things that we never dreamed we would do, right? We've all been there. And so truth anchors us down to reality. It protects us morally. It protects us spiritually. And we talked about the importance of being anchored in truth. And we looked at, you know, you can go back and listen to it, watch it, whatever. But we talked about the importance of that and who Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. But today I want to focus on lies, because what is a lie, right? I mean, there's all kinds of definitions, but here's one that I found. A lie is a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. It's a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive. And yet, you know, sometimes we can even make our stories better, right? We can make them more exciting. We can add things. We can take away things. But it's a deliberate intent to deceive. Now, I know some of you might feel like, man, you're kind of splitting hairs on this. But I want to dive into some things that are really important. Has to do with our conversation today. Talking about truth and lies. See, sometimes we think that there are things that are okay. It's okay to deceive somebody. It's okay to, you know, I think even just leaving things out or adding to the story. And I'll go so far as to say that exaggerating things. Now, like, oh, wow, is that really a sin? Exaggerating things. What happens is we start to lose touch with reality. Can you hear me? We listen, we start to lose touch with reality. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, you exaggerate your fishing story one time, or you exaggerate, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to hell. I'm not saying that, okay? But what I'm saying is, what happens is when we start to deliberately deceive people, when we start to, you know, take away or add to, or we start to lose touch with reality. Sometimes we do it to make ourselves feel better. And we do this by, we call them something else. We don't call it lies. We call it untruth. We call it stretching the truth. We call it white lies. I don't know what the difference between, you know, white and any other color, but and when we get caught, when we get caught, we just say, I was just kidding, right? Let me remind you that a half-truth is still a full lie. It's still a full lie. It's still a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie, but yet we lie. We find ourselves doing it. It's something that it just seems like it just came natural to us, which makes sense because it's really part of our old sinful nature, but it comes natural to us. So we lied to our parents, right? We lied to our teachers. We lied to our spouse. We lied to our ex. We lied to our coworkers. We lied to our employers, our employees. We lie to ourselves, right? And the more we practice at it, the more we do it, the better we get at it. Now, we all know somebody, or maybe more than somebody, maybe we all know many people, and maybe you're in that boat, maybe you are that person, but we all know people who are just really good at lying. I know people who they lie about their lies. And it's like, wow, you know, is that really necessary? But we tend to get better at lying the more we do it, right? It's like learning a new language. We actually become fluent in this language that we learn. Now, I've always wanted to be bilingual. When we lived in Austria as missionaries, we had an opportunity to learn German. And so I worked hard at it. We went to school for about a year. And we would try to talk to people when we'd go into stores. I would start out in German. And I don't know what it, you know, was. Maybe the fact that I sounded like an idiot in German. But they would start speaking to me in English. And so I'd speak to them in German. And they'd speak to me in English. And it was like this battle going on. And then finally, I would just say, oh, forget it. So I'd just speak in English. Because they wanted to speak English. And I just gave up. But I always wanted to be bilingual. And every time I go to South or Central America, I find myself, you know, wanting to learn Spanish even more, you know, and I'll do a little practicing and, you know, all that stuff. And I think it's so cool to be able to kind of live in two worlds, you know, because being bilingual, or if you're trilingual, you know, if you speak just multiple languages, it's a pretty cool thing to be able to go into an environment and speak two different languages. I remember there was a time when Robin and I and our kids, we traveled into Czech Republic from Austria, and I was actually looking for an area where my ancestors were supposedly from. And so we were on a little field trip, and we got to this place. It was getting dark, and it was a place called a pension, and it was like there was a bar there, and they had some rooms that they would rent out, and there was no hotels. It was out in the country, and so I went into the bar. And I'm trying to find out who owns this place so that I could rent a room for my family and for the night. And I didn't speak Czech at all. Czech is a Slavic-based language, and it's not even close to German. And so I didn't speak Czech, but I go in and I'm like, I tried English, and everybody looked at me like I had three eyes. And so I stopped that, and then I started speaking a little German. And all of a sudden, there's a guy at the bar, and he turns around and he starts to speak to me. And in a broken German as well. And it was like, this is cool. I'm able to communicate with this guy who's a Czech, and we're speaking a language. And it's like you're able to kind of live in two different worlds, right? I mean, you know, I'm very comfortable in the English world. I kind of got that down, you know, but when it came to German, I got a taste of like the power of being able to live in both worlds. And you know, here's what happens, I think, when it comes to lying, is that we learn another language. And we become bilingual, and we get comfortable. We kind of get really comfortable, and we enjoy the fact that we can live in both worlds. We can live in the world of reality, or we can live in the world of deception. And unfortunately, it's kind of an intoxicating thing to be able to blend and jump from deception into reality. And it's a trap that we all get in, and the enemy sets for us. Next, after Mother's Day, we're going to talk about that, how lies capture us and captivate us. But we get comfortable with it, and it empowers us because, man, I can deal with reality, but then if I want to get out of a situation, a tough situation that maybe I got myself into, or maybe I don't want to deal with the truth in it because the truth might be tough, it might be challenging for me, I can just, you know, venture into that deception, and I speak that language, right? See, the big lie in Genesis chapter 3, we've talked about it, and I keep referring, that big lie in Genesis 3, we'll talk about it again in a couple weeks, really created some big problems for us, because now what happens is we have to choose sides. We have to choose sides. Who do you belong to? Who do I belong to? These are the decisions that we have to make, the decision we have to make. Whose side am I on, right? John 18, 37, Jesus said this. He said, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So we've got to make a choice. Whose side am I on? Jesus in John chapter 8, He's at the Mount of Olives, which is about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. It was really like a hill, and it was called the Mount of Olives because it was covered with olive trees and orchards and all, whatever they call them, olive farms, I don't know, but covered with olive trees. And he's in the Mount of Olives, or at the Mount of Olives, and he begins to speak to not only his disciples, but he begins to speak to a large group of people. And he begins to talk to them, and he's preaching to them and teaching them about the kingdom of God. Many of them most of them are Jewish people, and some of them begin to believe and begin to put their trust in the message that he's sharing, and then all of a sudden he goes into some conversation with them about truth, and John chapter 8 verse 44 through 47, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me?" In verse 47, he says, "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God." Those are some powerful words. If you ever thought of Jesus as this real passive, you know, like kumbaya, let's all hold hands around the campfire and just tell each other how much we love each other. If you ever thought of Jesus as a soft guy, listen, he was tough. And he would speak the truth and powerfully. And this was one of those moments when he is speaking the truth, because what he's saying is, when I lie, when you lie, we speak the language of hell. See, the other language that we learn, that it's already in us, it's natural to us. It's our native tongue before we begin a relationship with Jesus. That native tongue, because of our old sinful nature, is lies. You don't have to teach a toddler how to lie. I mean, when they begin to speak, it's like, wow, really? Like, it's obvious you did that. You're the only child that lives in this house. You know, you broke it, right? Or you spilled it, right? But we don't have to teach a toddler how to lie. It just comes natural. It's a natural native tongue. And so what Jesus is saying is, listen, when you lie, you speak your native language. You speak the language of hell. Now that hurts. That's hard, you know? And Jesus didn't, you know, handle it in a soft way. He didn't say, well, listen, I get it. You know, you get yourself into a tough situation. I get it that, you know, you don't want to have to deal with things. And so it's okay to just kind of, you know, work your way over into this other world, you know, of deception just for a little while, right? And then you work your way back and it'll be okay. He says, no, listen, when you speak a lie, you speak the language of hell. That's strong. That's hard. As much as I want to say, you know, hey, I get it. Everyone lies. It's okay. So we kind of get a blanket pass. Jesus said, no. No blanket pass. No get out of jail free card. You know, no, I'm not going to take it easy on you. I want you to understand something. You got to choose a side. You got to choose a side. And when I choose to lie, I speak the language of hell. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, he says, "Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." See, that's your old language. That was your native tongue. But now you are in relationship with God. You've been transformed. You've been set free. And so you've taken that old self off and you've put on a new self. You've put on Christ. You're in Christ now. See, I'm talking to believers this morning. I'm talking to you if you say, you know what, I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe in Christ and I believe in what he's done. I've accepted that for myself. I'm trusting in him. I'm talking to you this morning. And I'm telling you something, that as we talk about the truth behind lies, we got to talk about the reality and the danger of lies. And we can't just kind of, you know, soft touch it. We can't just, you know, make excuses. Well, because, well, everybody lies, right? Well, someone lied to me, so I'm just lying back at them. And listen, we've taken off the old self and we've put on a new self. We've taken on Christ. See that big lie that we talked about in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll look at again, that big lie, it drives our sinful nature. It drives it because we were lied to. Adam and Eve were lied to. Mankind was lied to. And when the enemy said, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so that lie fuels our sinful nature. So what's wrong with a little white lie? What's wrong with it? Why am I making such a big deal? Why do I sound like, you know, just a Bible thumping, you know, just getting on my soapbox? What's so big about a white lie? What's so big about deception? Well, first, and we just talked about it, is that when I lie, I'm identifying myself. Jesus said this. When I lie, I'm identifying myself with the father of lies. Who do you belong to? Who do you want to call your father? See, Jesus made it really clear. Listen, you got choice. We've got a choice. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Those were Jesus' words. Those are powerful. And I'll be honest with you. Those are tough words. And they're hard at times because I don't know about you, but I overcommit myself all the time. You ever done that? I overcommit myself. I get myself into situations where I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I can't fulfill what I committed. And I feel like if I, you know, I'm going to look bad, or, you know, I'm going to hurt someone's feelings. Something's going to happen. And so it's so tempting. It's right there. All I got to do is just make up a little, like, white lie, you know, just a little something. I get myself into those situations. It's hard to have those conversations like, hey man, I'm sorry, I blew it. Hey, I did this, I did that. So we identify ourselves. We identify, when I lie, I speak the language of hell, and I don't want to speak that language. I don't want to speak the language of Satan. I don't want to, you know, when we were raising our kids, and teaching them, because when you got a little toddler that all of a sudden lies to you, you know, you got to teach them, here's why you don't lie, you know? And you can say, well, it's bad. Of course it's bad. And, you know, you can give them hot sauce, or you can give them soap, or you can put them in timeout, or whatever, you know, you do. And, you know, but you got to teach, you got to help them understand inside why we don't do this. And we would tell our kids, we don't lie because the devil lies. That's his language. And we don't speak his language, right? Do you speak his language? Oh no, I don't speak his language. Okay, so that's how we would teach our kids. And this is how we understand it. This is how we have grown in that as parents. And so one, the reason that lying, deception, whatever you want to label it, the reason that it's dangerous, the reason it's wrong, the reason we shouldn't do it is because it identifies us with Satan, with the father of lies. I don't want to have any identification, any relationship with the father of lies. Second reason, if that's not enough, if you say, you know, hey, that's good, that's a good reason, but not enough. Give me a little more. I got plenty more. But here's the second reason why it's not good to lie, why we should avoid lies, why we should be people of truth, we should choose the side of truth, is because it erodes, lies erode the basic building block of every relationship. When you lie, and you will get caught, the more you lie, the more you have to lie. And when you lie, what happens is it erodes the basic building block of every relationship. I think everyone here, everyone watching has experienced that, where you got caught in a lie, and all of a sudden, whether it was a spouse, whether it was a boss, whether it was a friend, somebody, it doesn't matter. But all of a sudden, they trusted you a little less, right? You know the same thing goes in your own heart and how you deal with people. When you realize somebody just lied, you know, that person just lied to me. Like, they totally just lied to me. And there's no like, hey, I'm just kidding, ha, you know, just a totally, you trust them less, right? Just a little less. You're like, if they're gonna lie to me about that, what else are they gonna lie to me about? And so if the fact that when we lie, we're speaking the language of hell and we're identifying with the father of lies, if that's not enough, then here's the other is that it erodes the basic building block of every relationship. Your relationships are built and founded and grounded in truth, right? In trust. I want to be a person of trust. I want to be a person that when I say something, people believe what I have to say. So it erodes the base. So if that's not enough, you say, man, I need a little more, right? The third thing is it creates cracks in our character. Like we talked about last week, without being anchored to reality, without truth, we drift morally. We drift spiritually. And we start to do things and compromise things that we would never do any other time. See, lies begin to erode the character, that foundation of our lives. And that's a dangerous place to be. I know that, you know, culturally, you know, lying has just seems to be acceptable, you know, but it's not. It really isn't. It's not acceptable to you, right? If your spouse says, you know, hey, yeah, I was working late, right? You know, but he really wasn't. And he was committing adultery. You know, is that okay? No, that's not okay. Absolutely, it's not okay. Is it okay if your bank steals your money, takes your money, does whatever, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, we, you know. No, it's not okay. It's not okay for us. And it shouldn't be okay for us to dive into that. And so it erodes that character. And then the fourth thing, especially for those of you who have young children still living at home, and really it supersedes that season of our life. But what happens is our kids are watching us. And more is caught than is taught, right? See, our kids they'll lose the trust that we have. They'll lose the trust in your word. When you say, you know, hey, I mean this, right? But yet they watch you. And when someone calls and tell them I'm not here. Tell them I'm busy. Tell them I'm sick. They see it. They know it. And if none of the other reasons worked for you, which they really should, but that reason, man, should be like, I don't want to be an influence on my kids. I don't want to be an influence on the people around me. How about your employees, if you're a boss? How about your coworkers? How about, people are watching. They see it. They're not blind. And then the last one. So that was a lot. Last one, the reason why you and I shouldn't lie, reason why we shouldn't speak the language of hell, is it affects our ability to hear God's voice clearly. It affects our ability to hear God's voice clearly. I don't know about you and how serious you take your relationship with the Lord, but this thing that we call Christianity, this relationship that we have with God, is super important to me. And what's so important about it is that, you know, one of the things is I want to hear God clearly. God is always communicating. He's always speaking to us, not necessarily in an audible way, but he's speaking to us and he wants to communicate to us. He wants to guide us and lead us and give us direction in our life. I want to hear him clearly. I need to hear him clearly. And I don't want anything messing with that. I don't want anything muddying the waters when it comes to me hearing God clearly. See, when I lie, it affects my ability to hear God's voice clearly. Jesus said in verse 47, of the passage that we just read a little while ago, chapter 8, he said, "He who belongs to God hears what God says." And then he goes on to say, "The reason you don't hear is that you don't belong to God." It's like, ouch. Because we identify with our with the enemy of our souls. We identify with hell itself when we lie. And Jesus says, the reason you don't hear is because you don't belong to God. I want to belong to God. I don't want to speak lies. I don't want to be deceptive. I don't want to exaggerate. I don't want to take the truth and trade it in for something that could deceive someone into thinking something else. I want to be a person of truth. I believe God's calling us to be people of truth. Would you agree? Little amen, little horn toot. Would you agree that God's calling us to be people of truth? He wants us to walk. See, we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. I hope that you'll choose life. I hope that you'll choose truth. Here's a letter that I want to read to you. This is a letter that was received. It's a real letter. You don't know the person, but this is a real person, a real letter. It says, "I'm a compulsive liar. I've never admitted this before, at least out loud. I lie because I'm afraid of punishment mostly. I've been married for almost 10 years, and this problem has and is bringing us to the brink of divorce. I don't lie about everything or make up fantastic stories about things that never happened, but what I do is when I'm faced with having to admit fault for something, I lie about it rather than tell the truth because I'm afraid of what he will do or say to me. He's not abusive. I just don't want to hear him yell at me or ask me questions for why I handled something a certain way. I see a psychologist and know that I have a very poor self-esteem, and lying is a way for me to avoid bad reactions. And with this being said, I don't have an excuse, and I know that lying is never acceptable, and lying is definitely no way of showing your spouse or someone you care for that you love and respect them. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to live my life authentically so that I in turn can be authentic. I'm so tired of living in fear and feeling ashamed of lies that I've told. I get mad when my husband questions me. And can I really blame him? No, I really can't. I don't know what the fate of my marriage will be, but I desperately need to stop lying. This is not how I want to live my life here in this world. And most importantly, I don't want to condemn my soul to hell because of this problem. I need help. And I've been down on my knees praying to God for him to help me. I can't go on like this anymore." Will you join me in prayer? I know that a message like this, it kind of hits every one of us. This isn't just something that only a few people struggle with. This is a problem that we all struggle with because we're born with that sinful nature. We're born already speaking that language. And learning truth, learning that new language can be difficult and it can be challenging. But can we pray together? Because I believe that the truth sets us free. We're gonna look at that in a couple weeks, how the truth will set us free. You know, the naked truth is always better than the best dressed lie. I had that written down. That's good. The naked truth is always better than the best dressed lie. I don't know who said it, but it's good. Let's pray. Let's commit our ways. Let's commit our hearts to the Lord. And let's choose life. Let's choose truth. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we choose you. We choose truth. We want to hear you. We want to hear your voice. We want to walk in truth. We want to walk in life. And Lord, I pray, Father, for your hand to be upon us. I pray that you'll break every stronghold of the enemy. I pray that the things that the enemy has used to enslave us, to hold us back, would be broken right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would just enable us by your Spirit to walk out this life and to live in truth. We choose you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.